Station.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Wednesday morning, and we can continue on with our discussion. We've been talking about a number of different things here, and we are also taking your calls on whatever else is on your mind. I mean, you know, somebody said to me the other day, I was bowling with someone, you know, the team we were facing. She was an older person, an older woman. I don't mean to make judgment if she's listening, but I would guess she's probably in her 70s. And she said to me, because my brother and I were talking about the radio show, because my brother listens on his way to work, and we were talking about something that came up on the show, and she's like, oh, you're on the radio? And I said, yeah. And she says, oh, what station? I said, WBSM, thinking, you know, she probably listens, right? It says my name up on the screen, but anyway. So if you listen and you know the show, you probably, but anyway. And she was like, no, I listen to Fun 107 every morning. Okay, fair enough. But she said, do you still do open line on WBSM? And I said, well, you know, not really. Because, you know, open line is a way, and it worked in a heyday when there wasn't a lot of people being, you know, a lot of other things pulling people's attention. Where there was, very few ways to be able to have your voice heard. Now people have social media to have their voice heard. So they don't feel the need to call into the radio. So talking on this program now for a lot of these folks is less about reaching a broad audience when they call. The people who call aren't calling in to say, let me speak to the people of New Bedford. They're more in a response to what we're talking about and the conversations that we're having. And it's more of a conversation between the host and the person, which I find makes for better talk radio than somebody that's coming in and soapboxing. I think that makes for a better conversation. But there's a difference between the way that radio worked under Stan Lip and the way that radio works now, because there's a difference in the audience and there's a difference in how the audience wants to present itself. So back then, you got a lot of regular people that called in to talk. Like, we're lucky here because we have just the regular folks. But we do get a few people that are, as Ferris calls them, the caller broadcasters. The people who call up all kinds of radio stations and just do this all day. And you get a lot of people that do that now. And that wasn't really a thing back in those days because they couldn't listen to those other shows to be able to know that they existed. Unless they had a really good radio that got in those signals. But now with the internet, you can hear every show and you can call into every show and there's no more long distance calls. So it's changed the landscape. So she asked me, do you still do open line? And I said, you know, it's really, we'll talk about things that people want to talk about. But if we get on a subject or if we have a guest, you know, it's not really open line. But generally, open line was designed to be like, just call up. And you've got things to talk about and generate conversation if people don't call, but generally people called and directed that. That's not really the way that radio works anymore. Now it's more about we bring you the subjects, we bring you the guests, and we get your response and reaction to it. But it doesn't always have to be that way. And really, the open line feature on the WBSM app, that is the old school open line, where you can bring up anything, and then we can play it at a time when it works so that you're not calling us and we're saying, hey, I've got Mayor Mitchell here right now. Now's not the time to talk about, you know, who has the best roast beef sandwich on the South Coast. So, you know, we have that ability and that flexibility with the technology to allow you to still have the open line feature. So hopefully that kind of explains a little bit of the difference between then and now. But we've got some App chat messages that came in. Sketty says, Tim, let's go to that caller's place and do a meet and greet. I love grill cooking and wood chips. They come seasoned, and if you know how to use them, they make for a great flavor on any meat. Your marinade with whiskey. Jameson's I'm allergic to. I don't know I can have whiskey, but I recently discovered I'm allergic to that brand name. Go figure. I say let's do that suggestion, the caller said, in taste test. I don't know that he wants us all to go over his house, but certainly if we put something together. See, here's the thing. There's all kinds of permits and permissions that are needed for us to be able to serve food. Because I had said years ago, I was like, hey, let's get a grill. I'll bring my grill down. We'll put it out in the parking lot. We'll get a bunch of burgers. We'll get, you know, gas bars to donate some linguica. We'll cook up some food and everybody can come down and just have something to eat. And we can meet the listeners that way. We'll do it right here in front of the building. We have a parking lot. People can park. They can come over. We'll put a couple tables out. Well, the problem is we're not licensed to serve food. We can't do that. We'd have to bring in a caterer that would do that. Or we'd have to hold it somewhere where they can serve food. See, there's all these little things and all these little restrictions that get in the way. Doesn't mean that it's impossible. It just means that it's become something that's now, you know, takes somebody's time to do, costs money to do, and it's harder to get people to agree to do those things when you say we've got to spend money. I mean, we've got corporate overlords here that are going to say, wait, you're spending money to do that? Wait, why don't you just go have it at a client's place and, you know, we can have the client pay for everything and they get the promotion out of it. And it's like, no, but we wanted to do it ourselves so that, anyway. And also, I honestly am not a big fan of potluck things because I'm kind of picky. Like, I don't know what your kitchen is like. I don't know that you follow all the health rules and health codes, and I don't know if you've cross-contaminated or if there's a E. coli possibility. I've never been a potluck person. It's probably just my own anxieties having worked in kitchens and seen what can happen. We got an app chat message from Johnny OneNote, who says that particular caller is not alone, a previous caller. There are many who call the afternoon talk shows that are driven by hate, fear, and negativity. Trump and those who support him, including right-wing radio hosts, use the hate of immigrants, driving it home hard every single day, and it worked perfectly. That is how Trump won this election, fear and negativity. I don't know how these people live with all that hate and fear in their hearts every day. Well played. And Johnny's not wrong. Johnny, who is a conservative but not a Trumper, saw right through this, which is prey upon the fact that people think that they don't have a fair shake and then demonize who you can blame for why they don't have a fair shake. If your life is not great, if you can't afford to live, and I'm not going to go into like the people who are on a fixed income. I understand there's extenuating circumstances in a lot of cases. But realize that the same people who call up this radio station and say, we shouldn't be giving handouts to people. They should just pick themselves up by their bootstraps. They're not making enough money. Get another job. That job doesn't pay you enough. Get a different job that pays you more. Pay for yourself to get through school. That's what I did. Like, the people who call in and say that are also the same people that are complaining, I can't do it. I can't make enough to live. Well, then you should have picked yourself up by the bootstraps, got another job, found something that paid more, lived within your means, right? All of those things. But no, instead, we have to find an outside person, an outside force. It's got to be somebody else's fault because it can't be yours, right? And understandable, you've worked hard. You've worked hard at the job that you have, at the career that you chose, but it's not enough to live. Sure, cost of living goes up. Sure, taxes go up, all of those things. But you did not respond to that situation by making a change. Instead, you found somebody else to blame. And that's what was capitalized upon. And that's worked in politics for a long, long time. And I'm not comparing, let me just make a point here to say, I'm not comparing Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler, but that's how Hitler was able to rise to power. That's what works. Fear mongering works. Putting the blame on somebody else and demonizing works. But that's not the reality of the situation. If you looked inward and realized, yeah, I didn't do enough. I could have done more. I could have gone into landscaping instead of going into the media like two of my classmates did, who are now millionaires, who own a very successful business. I could have done that. Landscaping isn't that hard. I'm not belittling it at all. It's a skill, but it's a skill that is learnable. I could have spent the time and educated myself and learned and dedicated myself to doing that. But I didn't like mowing lawns. I didn't like doing landscaping. I didn't like being outside in bad weather, so I didn't do it. But I could have been them and been a millionaire. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. I'm proud of you, Tim. You actually made sense there for a few minutes. His personal accountability is a huge thing, and it goes a long way. You know, that lends to the idea that we are blessed to be Americans. We are blessed to have the opportunities that we do have, and it is our choice alone in what we do with those opportunities that are provided for us as being Americans. Moving on from that, just want to say I'm proud of you. You know, good for you. Skynet came online in August 1997, and it was created to help humans where that humans couldn't help themselves as far as diseases, medical issues, things like that. I'm kind of concerned about the new investments that are coming out now. I think it was it last night? There was a press conference with these tech executives, you know, pouring probably $500 billion into AI in the United States, setting up shop in the United States. I'm kind of concerned about that. I don't know if you are either, if you were following along with that.
Well, I think there needs to be guardrails for any new technology, but those guardrails should only be, protective, but not restrictive. So, like, for example, with the rise of AI, like, we need to be careful about what we let AI do, but that doesn't mean that we should restrict what we can build AI to be, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was watching at the press conference just saying, yeah, it could, you know, it could cure cancer. It could cure this. It could cure that. It can see things and think ways that in abstract ways that the human brain can't right now. It kind of makes sense. I mean, I'm one of those landscapers. I just cut grass. But that sounds good, but okay, what if it decides, what if AI, you know, turns into the Matrix and decides that humans are the weed? Well,
here's why the Matrix doesn't work in real life, because in real life, if that started to happen, they should have unplugged the machines.
What if it doesn't allow that?
I mean, it has to allow it. There's no way to get around that. We still have control over the machines.
If it could create fail safes, you know, backup power.
You can cut every connection that machine has. We can isolate ourselves from technology. The problem is this AI, this artificial intelligence, is only going to get as it doesn't have quantum thinking ability. It can only get as intelligent as we put in the parameters for it to get intelligent enough of. So if we put in those guardrails, we keep it from getting to that point. The other part of it too is aspects of our lives are controlled by technology, but we aren't. The worst thing technology could do is decimate our society as we know it. It can't change who we are and what we do as people. So, yeah, I hope we don't have to get into a John Connor rise up situation. But, you know, I think ultimately people could prevail over machines.
Could you bend like Neo? Could you do that?
I can't even bend like Keanu Reeves, let alone the character. I can barely bend.
All right, I'm going to go finish my coffee. You have a good day, Tim.
You as well. I need to probably take some yoga lessons or something. Let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. Every sign pretty much that they've seen with AI, it once it starts to get bigger as time goes on, it'll not have consciousness, which it would need to do in order to take over. And it... once it gets to a certain level, it sounds like an insane human being. It rambles out basically mindless information. Mm-hmm. It'll never come to that point. I don't believe it'll ever come to that point. But it is scary when you watch the robots that are today and the things they're capable of doing. That's pretty amazing. Aston Dynamics and the newer model, they have that Atlas. I think it's a newer Atlas, and it's all electric. And when you see it, it looks like a small, looks like a box almost, and then all of a sudden it stands up, and it looks like a, you know, walks like a human. Looks, it has all the same human features basically, and it's really amazing the technology that has come along. That definitely is scary, I have to say, but that's all programmed, and it would be hard to believe that. You know, I definitely don't believe AI will ever gain consciousness. That's what it would take for it to take over.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to, just an example, ChatGPT, which is available to anybody, just go to chatgpt.com and type in something and don't be very specific with your prompt, you're going to get a rambling response that doesn't make any sense or something that doesn't really, you know, apply to what it is that you're asking. You have to have a very refined search for it. And the other part of it, too, is I've typed in a lot of things into it just to see what it comes back with that comes back with wrong information. So you still need to be able to go and verify the information that it brings back. Now, you can ask for the sources where it got that information and go and check those sources. And usually it's because those sources have misinformation, but it also doesn't have discernment. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, I don't think you can give that to an artificial intelligence.
You can't. You can, all you can do is compile information. And it will, and it does have the ability to sort information out, as you, mm-hmm. like you said, as you refine a question. But it has to gain consciousness, and that's just not going to happen. It won't happen. And I'm thankful, because otherwise it would be pretty frightening.
But I will say this, it's very helpful. In the ways that I've used it, it is very helpful.
It's amazing. And the amount of information that's out there, it's really scary. It's really amazing. People have taken the time to compile it all and put it on the internet. And that's so much information out there now that we've never had access to before. And which is good, which is always good. But yet, with everything good that comes along, something bad comes from it a lot of times too. Not always, but for the most part. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Keep up the good work, Tim.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day. All right, we got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. If you want to call in, and I can promise you that I am a real person. I am not AI. You know how I can tell? You know how you can tell? Because it's called artificial intelligence. There'd have to be some intelligence there for me to be AI. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. And I've got those feelings again. And welcome back in. We're going to be going in the news in just a moment. But before I do that, if you are someone who is looking for extra income, or if you need a job that has to fit around your kid's school schedule now that the holidays are over and they're back in school, or maybe you just are retired and you're looking to put a little bit of extra money in your pocket, well, Tremblay Bus Company is in desperate need of school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. And you don't even need a CDL. They're willing to train you if you're willing to learn. So if you want to find out more about how you could be a bus driver, a van driver, or a monitor for Tremblay Bus Company, you just have to go to their website, tbcbus.com. TBC for Tremblay Bus Company. Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. And when you go there, they've got all the information there to contact them, and you can say, hey, I'm interested in becoming a driver. I'm interested in becoming a monitor. How does it all work? And they'll be able to give you all that information, and you could be earning yourself some money while helping local kids get to school. TBCBus.com. All right, we're going to be going into the newsroom with Phil in just a moment. But Meaty in Dartmouth, I don't know if your app chat is broken or if you left the app in your pocket open or if it just keeps sending the same stupid message with the same stupid statement, but it's been four times now. So either your app is broken or you're just an idiot. Toss up. All right, let's go into the news and get the latest from Phil Devitt.
Trump begins dismantling the government's DEI department. Danger lurking still at the site of California wildfires. And a new option for people with high blood pressure.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Donald Trump began his presidency with a dizzying display of force, signing a blizzard of executive orders that signals his desire to remake American institutions while also pardoning nearly all of his supporters who rioted at the U.S. Capitol back in 2021. A big development in just the last 12 hours or so. Trump's administration is directing that all federal diversity, equity, and inclusion staff be put on paid leave, and that agencies develop plans to lay them off, according to a memo from the Office of Personnel Management. Tuesday's memo follows an executive order that Trump signed his first day, ordering a sweeping dismantling of the federal government's diversity and inclusion programs that could include anti-bias training and funding for minority farmers and homeowners. The Deep South is experiencing a rare winter storm with heavy snow blanketing parts of Louisiana and Alabama. The National Weather Service in Lake Charles, Louisiana, issued its first ever blizzard warning. Snowfall records have been broken in several locations, including Pensacola, Florida. It's a historic event for the region, which is more accustomed to hurricanes than blizzards. Southern California wildfire survivors are struggling with the decision of whether to return to the destroyed area to search for personal belongings. Concerns about exposure to toxic chemicals in the ash are a major factor. Experts warn that burned materials can release harmful substances like lead, asbestos, and arsenic. A West Virginia woman is on trial for allegedly mistreating her adopted children. Jean K. Whitefeather denies accusations that she and her husband forced the children to work on their farm and locked two of them in a shed. Prosecutors say neighbors reported seeing the couple lock the children in the shed and leave the property. Whitefeather claims the shed was a hangout for the teens and they had a key to come and go as they pleased. The trial is expected to continue this week. And a new procedure called renal denervation may offer hope for people with high blood pressure that's difficult to control with medication. This minimally invasive treatment disrupts overactive nerves in the kidneys that contribute to elevated blood pressure. During renal denervation, a doctor uses a catheter to deliver ultrasound or radio frequency energy to the nerves surrounding the renal arteries, disrupting the signals that contribute to high blood pressure. While not a cure, studies have shown that renal denervation can lead to a modest but significant reduction in blood pressure for some patients. But it's not suitable for everyone and should only be considered for carefully selected patients under the guidance of physicians.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins up against the New Jersey Devils tonight at 7, and the Celtics and LA Clippers out west game at 10:30 tonight.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Frigid start today, mainly sunny and cold, a high of 22, although it'll feel like single digits out there thanks to those wind chills. On Thursday, partly cloudy and a high of 32. The same goes for Friday, Saturday as well. Sunday, a bit warmer, high of 38 and partly cloudy and breezy. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Mad Season, River of Deceit, from their one album, their only album, Above. That was a super group of the grunge era. If you never heard that album, check it out. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Yes, good morning. Tim, I heard about what you were saying about the immigrants. And, you know, my concern is you know, we can't afford this. It's over $2 billion that the governor spent already this year. And, you know, we can't save the world. We can help out. But, you know, what are we supposed to support everybody? And the other problem I have is that this country is becoming overbuilt. It's not the rural community it was when I grew up. And pretty soon we're going to look like Rio de Janeiro.
There's still quite a bit of rural land in the country. I mean, here in Massachusetts, we've become overdeveloped, but there still is a lot of rural land across the country.
Well, what I'm talking about is here in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cost us what the governor took $2 billion that we had in a surplus. That's gone. Now she's asking for billions of dollars more. And, you know, years ago when the immigrants came here, they went to work. They built their own lives. We didn't have to hand feed them. You go then, you know, well, our hospitals overrun, our schools are overrun. We got
to
wait.
To be fair, you have to feed them now because they can't go to work. They're not legally permitted to work yet. If that's something that they worked out where they said, okay, we're going to lift that restriction, they'd all have jobs.
Well, then again, we don't have the jobs to support all these 20 million people or whatever they are.
There's lots of places that are looking for people.
Really?
There's a restaurant in Wareham that just said that they're going to be closed for the foreseeable future because they can't get anybody to come in and work.
50% of the people in Massachusetts are on welfare.
Well, but also, don't make the mistake of thinking welfare means that they do nothing. Some of that welfare that they're receiving are benefits that help offset some of the deficit that they have, but they're still out there working hard. They're just not enough to support their family.
My point is we can't afford more welfare recipients, you know? I mean, how many people we got to take in? And what are we, you know, the look at the population is growing to what, 9 billion they're talking about in the next 10 years or whatever. You know, we can't save the world.
All right. Well, I mean, by the same token, somebody's going to tell Elon Musk the same thing. Because he supports people having as many kids as possible. And that's something that concerns me just as much. Trying to create more mouths to feed than necessary just because somebody thinks that that's what you should do. But that's one of the platforms that he pushes.
Well, that's a private opinion and not a government program. The difference being is that
he's now part of your government.
Supporting their own kids. He's got 10 kids, but he supports them. You know,
some of them he's cut off.
What?
Some of them he's cut off.
I don't know his whole personal thing, but you know that's a personal thing and not a government program. You know, we have open borders. We have the visa waiver program. Our open borders brought us 9/11. You look at all the crime we have in this country today, and now we have another gang that's taken over inside the country, that's taken over apartment complexes and things like this. You know, they need to be able to take care of themselves and, you know, stay in their own countries. I can see us going down to Venezuela and overthrowing that dictator. They had an election there, and He ignored the election after he lost. And he was going to execute his opponent or exile him or whatever. I don't know how that whole thing turned out. But, you know, we can't bring in the whole world into the United States. Even everybody wants to live here. We'd be working to make other countries, people want to go live there too.
Well, if these mass deportations do take place, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what that does to the workforce, what that does to the people that are doing these jobs, whether, you know, legally or illegally. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it's getting done kind of off the books, but we'll see how that shakes out.
Well, for one thing, it'll probably improve the wages and uh, the the carpentry business or the home improvement business or whatever, they rely on a lot of these illegal immigrants that they pay nothing. And when these people can't complain about not getting paid, I think you'll find there'll be a lot of people coming off the benches going in there and filling in if they could make decent money.
Well, that's one industry, but I was watching a news report about a town in Texas where they're heavily reliant on immigrants that come in and work in the meatpacking places because the Americans don't want to do that job. That they could offer them all the money in the world. They don't want to do that job. But the immigrants come in, they're happy to have a job. So what happens to your meat? You know, are you going to have meat to buy off the shelves if people just don't want to do the job?
That's a fallacy. They do that because they've lowered the wages so much that people won't do the job for the money they pay.
But why do that job if there's other jobs available that pay more money? You're just not going to do the job you don't want to do and go take the job that you like better.
Well, not everyone has the talent to go out there and make more and more money. This is why, so a lot of people here, they're not rocket scientists. Not everybody's a rocket scientist.
But there's plenty of jobs for people that aren't rocket scientists.
I don't know about that. I don't see so many
I'm just going to use these as examples, not to diminish the jobs at all, but why be a garbage man having to hang on the back of a truck in the freezing cold of today when you could be a dishwasher inside a warm kitchen? So what do you do when everybody has that opportunity and nobody's a garbage man anymore? The garbage doesn't get picked up.
Well, I don't know if they both make the same amount of money.
I'm just using that as examples.
Well, it's not a good example because I think that a dishwasher does not make as much as a garbage man.
All right. You failed to see my point, but thank you for the call.
The other thing I wanted to say about Rich McHugh is he's a great guy, highly recommended, and I hope the city council puts him on. I've had the privilege of knowing him and working with him, and he's one of the finest men I've ever known.
I was going to say, I don't know him, but everything that I've seen has been universally overwhelmingly in support that he's the right guy for that job, for that position.
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, he's the kind of guy that every kid wants to be like when they grow up, and every man wishes he had been when they look back on their life.
Before I let you go, let me ask you then, do you think then that makes it a no-brainer for the council to be able to approve this tomorrow night in their meeting instead of having to refer it to appointments and briefings?
Absolutely. He's impeccable. He's if there's a better man out there, I don't know him.
All right. Well, thank you for the information. You have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right. Welcome back in. Say, I've got my laundry in my car, right? I put it all in the bag and I was like, I got to find time during my day to get over to Dash so I can drop it off and put it in the locker. I don't have time to go in there and drop it off and talk to them about it. I just want to drop it off in the locker and take off and move on with my day. And that was my plan, is I was just going to go drive over to Dash, One State Road in Dartmouth. And I was going to open up the locker using my Dash Laundromat app, leave my clothes in there, tell them what I wanted to have done, and then I can go back and pick it up in the locker afterwards. But I also remembered I don't need to go all the way there. I don't need to leave in the freezing cold weather and drive over there from the studio. I can just call them and have them pick it up because Dash will pick up and deliver your laundry at no extra charge. How does it all work? Go to the Dash Laundromat app on your app store, download it. All the information is there, or go to dashlaundromat.com and find out more there as well. But if you do go to do your laundry at Dash, it's brighter, it's cleaner, the machines are newer and more efficient, and you also get rewarded for doing your laundry at Dash. You actually earn money back when you do your laundry at Dash. So when I go and do my laundry and I put in the money to do the wash, I earn credits back that I then use to pay for the dry. It's amazing. So check it out. Dash Laundromat, One State Road in Dartmouth. Or make sure you download that Dash Laundromat app. All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, good morning, Tim. It's Catherine.
Hey,
How are you?
How you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. And I hope the same for you.
Yeah. Good to hear from you.
Let's see. Well, first, I'm wondering if the war in Ukraine has ended yet. Trump said he would do it in a day. Has it ended?
Yeah, as far as I know, it has not.
Okay. All right. I also wanted to talk, and I'm just sort of jumping around, but it's all politically related. I think when I drive around in the city of New Bedford, a lot of the people I see leaving fish, I guess they're fillet houses, people leaving motels from working, clearly working, people carrying cleaning equipment with them, guys on bicycles leaving fillet houses. They are not, they're immigrants. You know, they are immigrants. Those are the people who are working in those kinds of jobs. And the same thing with some fast food places. What I'm most concerned about is why we're not having a replacement, generational replacement of plumbers, electricians, primary care doctors. My financial planner was telling me that in her type of profession, people are not going for it. She does a lot of IRS work, and she said there are a lot of people in their 20s and 30s who are unemployed. Now, I'm not blaming them. I don't know why that might be, but I'm much more concerned about that age group and those professions, those jobs that are not being replaced. There's going to be a point where, and you alluded to it, or you said something about one of the jobs, that there won't be, oh, garbage men. Yes. If what will happen if people won't take those jobs? So that's my two cents about people worrying about immigrants not working.
Well, I was going to say, part of the reason why you might not be seeing people taking those jobs is because we have had an explosion in the last 20 or so years of these new technology jobs, these new social media jobs, things like that, that younger people who have a better handle on those things than the older crowd does, they're gravitating toward those jobs. Because if you said to somebody, do you want to be a garbage man on the back of a truck on a 9-degree day picking up trash all day? Or do you want to sit at a desk in an office and just play on Twitter and Facebook all day? What do you think they're going to want to do? And oh, by the way, you're going to get paid a lot more to go do the stuff on social media. So I think you're going to see a lot of careers and jobs that do fall by the wayside, not because the services they provide are obsolete, but because people have found new avenues to pursue that they find more personally rewarding, just as much as financially.
Well, I'm sure that there's truth in that too. When I was teaching at the local community college, what I saw increasingly was students, not the majority, but increasingly students were interested in becoming game designers online. And, you know, there's a place for that, too, of course. But I'm afraid that our society is headed toward a lot of entertainment and I'm not saying designers don't have to think, they do. And some players have to think if they want to play well. But fewer and fewer jobs, I think, where people need to deal with things in reality rather than fantasy lives.
Well, but here's how it works.
I'm drifting here.
But here's how it works: is those coders who went to school and said, "I'd rather be a developer than be an accountant or a tax attorney or anything like that." They're the people that then went and studied coding and then created things like TurboTax, so that the average person can do their taxes themselves without having to hire somebody to do it, therefore rendering that job less important. But they were the ones that were able to make it happen. So, you know, just because people are going into these other things doesn't mean that it won't trickle down into making things more efficient in some of these other areas.
No, I'm sure that's true, too. But I guess what I'm heading towards saying is I think that, and I'm not saying everybody in the younger generation by any means, but they're looking for jobs that they think will be fun and make them a lot of money quickly. And I heard what you said. I'm sure there are people, hopefully, who will be making our lives easier, continue to. But I think the values in our country and that over the past generation or two have since the 1980s, slowly but surely, I'm afraid, have gone more toward what can I do to make a quick buck, never mind what will that contribute to the world. And So I guess that's my very larger point.
I would just counter that as it's become more expensive to live. The quick buck is more necessary to be able to survive.
Well, which came first? You know, with the Reagan era, things started to become much more expensive. And the majority of people, you know, the middle class, as you know, has begun to fall out. And the people, the 1 or 2% at the very top, are the ones who are increasingly controlling our country. To which I'd like to add this. No matter who you voted for, we everyday citizens need to become more active in our government. If you haven't voted before, please vote. If you haven't gone to any city or town committee meetings in some time, please start going at least once a month. If you can apply to be on committees, I know you were talking about a committee just a little while ago, please apply. You can look online for City of New Bedford and see which committee positions have expired. There are plenty of them. And also consider running for office if you can.
Absolutely.
I know I've drifted.
Well, I just got to hold you there because I got one final break I got to take, but it was great hearing from you again.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Hopefully you'll call in some more times in the morning.
Thank you. Bye.
I got to take this quick break to wrap things up. We'll be right back. You know, ever since that caller called in earlier and talked about the ribs that he makes, that's all I can think about is ribs. Maybe I got to get myself over to the butcher shop and get some ribs to, I don't know that I'd be out cooking them on the grill on a day like today when it's 9 degrees out, but I like to put the grills and my ribs in the air fryer. They come out really good in the air fryer, believe it or not. And that's just one of the many things you can get over at the butcher shop, including steaks, chicken wings, giant chicken wings. You can get those celebrity pork chops. You can get pretty much everything you can imagine. They make their own linguica. They make their own sausage. Check it out. The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And it's a real old school neighborhood market. So you can get beyond just the meat. You can get everything else that you need. You can't get beyond meat there, though. They only have real meat there. But you can get all kinds of other things as well, including some of the great homemade foods they make. You know what would go great today? Some French meat pie. And I bet you Maria's cooking them up over there at the butcher shop. Check it out, 123. 123-